There we go. I think that works. All right. So here in a moment, we're going to be seeing number 669. I'd like to thank Abe for kind of letting me pick the lesson, kind of have some thoughts of what we'd like to study today. And yes, you know, going the extra mile is what I've made my lesson today. You know, and I hadn't really thought about, you know, some of these things that we have put together here in thought today. You know, one of the things that Abe had mentioned, his was going the second mile. You know, with that, you would have to have went the first mile, right? So then, therefore, you would have had to win a mile, and then now a second mile. So I hadn't really put that in place because you would have already done extra work, and now you're doing more work. And that's kind of the thought that I'd like to have today. You know, with the sale of the building and us getting ready to build a new building and everything, it's something that I've been thinking about a lot, especially just kind of going that extra step. Because with that, we've had some friends help us out here. We even had a realtor that was just known by a few of us that not only helped us find a seller for the building, but did all of the work and didn't charge us anything for it. You know, I think of that, you know, not only did he help us out, he did all the closing work and all that kind of stuff. You know, definitely went the extra mile to help us out. So I just kind of found this picture, you know, going the extra mile. It's kind of how I've named my lesson. Of course, with that, there's a whole bunch of graphics and things you can find on the internet that kind of depict going this extra mile. And I do like to mention that it is good to see my friend Ben with us this morning. Me and Ben went through kindergarten, through high school together, and then we hung out even after high school together. So it's great to see him this morning. I mean, it's kind of crazy how everything comes together because I helped train some people on websites, and his mom was at my house Friday. And it's like, wow, isn't it a small world, you know, how everything kind of comes together? So I just thought I'd mention that. So it is great to see him this morning. So kind of going into our lesson, kind of going this extra mile. Now, I'm glad that, you know, Abe has already used some of these points. And I'm kind of hoping that he did. I'm glad that he did because I'm just kind of mentioning it here real quick again. So it says the expression, the extra mile, refers to the act of the service for others to go beyond what is required or expected. So this is from Wikipedia, since there's not really any definition for going the extra mile. I kind of took this as the definition of going the extra mile. So it says the expression comes from the Bible, and Jesus declared in the Sermon on the Mount here in Matthew 5:41. It says, whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. So with that said, you've already went 1 mile, and now you're going 2 miles. So with that, I'd like to get some thoughts about going the extra mile. So we're going to look at a couple passages today. We're going to look at a couple people that have went that extra mile and kind of make application to this whole idea of going the extra mile. And also, you know, just some of the things that I've thought about recently is, you know, Roger had mentioned the other day that, you know, just with some things going on at work, you know, maybe being one of the only Christians there, you know, sometimes it's hard to get things through. And that's kind of the idea of what I thought about going this extra mile, because I've felt the same way. I've definitely been in situations like that, where sometimes you are the only one standing. And I had given reference to Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego that sometimes, you know, sometimes you are the only ones left standing. But some of the things that I thought about when going the extra mile was David here helping set Solomon up to build the temple. So here in 2 Samuel 7, it says, then David said to Nathan the prophet, look, I'm living in this place made of cedar wood, and the ark of the Lord is in a tent. So he is wanting to build a great building, you know, for the temple. However, God's response back was, when you die and join your ancestors, I'll make one of your sons the next king, and I will set up his kingdom, and he will build a house for me, and I will let his kingdom rule always. So this was something that David really wanted to do. He wanted to build a house for the Lord. However, the Lord told him that he was not able to. Especially when we look at 1 Chronicles, actually 22-29, it states all of the facts about Solomon building the temple. But one of them was is that David had too much blood on his hands for him to build the temple. However, David just didn't leave it off with, okay, well, God didn't tell me that I couldn't build the building, so I'm just going to leave it at that. What he did is I feel like David went the extra mile because what he did is he put everything together that Solomon would need to build the temple. You know, he had relations with other countries. He was able to pull people together. So here in 1 Chronicles 22 it says, "So David ordered all foreigners living in Israel to gather together from the group David chose, stone cutters that cut stones to be used in the building of the temple of God. David supplied a large amount of iron to be used for making nails and hinges for the gate doors. He also supplied more bronze than could be weighed, and he could supply more cedar logs than could be counted. Much of the cedar had been brought to David by the people from Siron and Tyre." We'll look at those two places in a little bit later when we make some application. However, David just didn't leave off and say, okay, well, I can't do this, so when Solomon comes up, you know, he'll do this. He did everything in preparation for him. So when he found out that he couldn't make the temple, at least he helped put everything in place to help build the temple. With that, not only did David help with everything but building the temple, but all of the other families and leaders helped build the temple. So it says the family leaders and the leaders of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of the thousands of men and the hundreds of men and the leaders of responsible for the king's work gave their valuable things. Now, it does talk about just giving and being donated. So these things were donated to help build this temple. These things went towards this building that Solomon would put together. Now, I like looking at different renderings of buildings and everything, and this is a rendering of what the temple may have looked like. Now, there are several different ideas of what the building would have looked like, but all of these things were given to him to build this building. Now, it says that there was a lot of gold and things like that, so the whole inside may have been of gold. It talks about all these jewels and everything that everybody donated. Everybody went that extra step to help build this house for the Lord. And a lot of it was free will donations that were given, and it was David's work that put everything together so Solomon could build this temple. He kind of went that extra mile. So, one of the things that we're studying here on Wednesday night is actually about Ruth. So I have a couple things here about Ruth, because I asked Jenna, you know, what are some things, maybe some stories in the Old Testament of going that extra mile? And she mentioned about Ruth and Naomi. So, let's read this here real quick. Here in Ruth 1, starting in verse 16, it says, "But Ruth said, 'Don't beg me to leave you or to stop following you, or where you will go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. And wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. I ask the Lord to punish me terribly if I do not keep this promise. Not even death will separate us.'" Right? She went that extra mile to help Naomi. She went that extra step to help all of this. Now, at this point, we know that Naomi's sons have died, and basically Ruth no longer has a husband, so they were to depart to go back to their homeland. And Naomi wanted her daughter-in-laws just to split and go back to their homelands. But Ruth stayed with her. She stayed with her to help with her. And as that story goes, there was a lot of extra help that went along with that. She went that extra mile to help her. And after going back and reading over this, the next verse basically states Naomi didn't even argue after that point. After she made that statement, she said she quit arguing because she knew that she wasn't basically going to win the argument. She just let her come with her at that point. Also, since we are studying that story, you know, it's on kind of the top of our minds. So one of the other things that I thought about going that extra mile was when Boaz gave her the extra portions of barley. Now, this is something to look at here in Ruth 3, and it says, "So Boaz said to Ruth, 'Bring me your shawl and hold it open.' So Ruth held open her shawl, and Boaz poured 6 portions of barley into it. Boaz then put it on her head, and she went back into the city." So he helped her out. You know, they really didn't have anything. You know, they really were being helped out by Boaz here when they were in need. So he went that extra mile by giving her this. This was, they were on the threshing floor, and she came and visited him, and they gave him this extra. So, with this going the extra mile, I went out and did some research about just maybe what some other people are saying about going the extra mile. with that, this story of Rebecca at the well was actually stated as going the extra mile. Jen and I are actually going back and rereading the Bible. We're trying to get through it in a year by doing different studies. And we had actually just got through with Rebecca here at the well just a couple weeks ago. So, you know, I kind of wanted to read this so we can take a look and put it, kind of put some application along with Rebecca at the well. So it says, "So she said, 'Drink, my Lord.' Then she quickly let her pitcher down and handed in her hand and gave him to drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, 'I will draw water from the camels also until they have finished drinking.' Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew it for his camels. And then the man wondering at her remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey perpetuous or not." So, one of the thoughts here is that the Lord basically said the person that will draw water is basically who they were looking for at this point. But the whole idea of what Rebecca did here, not only did she draw water for the servant here, but she also went and fetched it for the camels. So it says, continuing here in Genesis 24, "So it was when the camels had finished drinking," so the camels had finished drinking at this point, "that the man took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel and two bracelets off her wrist weighing shekels of gold, 23, and said, 'Whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge?'" The whole idea of this is kind of what I'm wanting to show is about going the extra mile by giving water. So he was thirsty after being traveled. They gave him water. But not only did she give him water, she went and fed his camels as well, as stated here. So with that point, I just kind of want to look at camels here for a second. This might be something that's maybe a little different. So let's look at this camel here. So camels, one camel coming out of the desert can easily consume 25 gallons in one extended slurp from being stopped. There are 10 camels, which means Rebecca must have drawn 250 gallons of water based on the back of the envelope calculations. Just a really quick calculation. So a pitcher of from this time period of the Bronze Age holds between 2 and 3 gallons, so let's say 2.5 gallons. So that comes to about 100 trips from the well. So that means she drew over a ton of water. She did this all for a complete stranger and did it without being asked. Right? So, that's a lot of water. That's a lot of things to think about. So, we know that this person came to the well, but she just immediately gave him water to drink and then fed all of the camels. So, with that said, there might be a couple people thinking, well, was there even camels were domesticated in this time frame? I don't know. Let's take a look at this. So, some research states that archaeologists believe that camels had not been domesticated during this time of Abraham. Just a thought. That would mean that the story of Rebecca is a later edition from a different editor editing during this time frame when camels were domesticated. This is a conversation that we had the other day. I believe Brad brought it to mind that some of the parts it says corn, but what it means grain, but corn would have been the common thing to us, but they wouldn't have corn then. It just depends on how it's stated or recited. With that said, it still doesn't really matter whether it was camels or not. Right? She still would have drawn water. It still would have been a certain amount. It still would have been interesting for us to read this story and to know that she did that. All of this is coming from Dr. Sheldon Greaves. He is a doctor for Stanford University, and his whole job is to study the Dead Sea Scrolls, which would be pretty cool. I always thought that'd be a pretty cool job. That's his job, and he has this all put together on his website where he talks about Rebecca and drawing the water and all these things. But he still makes the point, whether it was camels or not, it doesn't matter, right? Because she still did that extra work, whether it was horses or donkeys or whatever, right? They still did that extra work. So, with that said, we just went the extra mile to learn about camels, right? So we learned a little bit extra today. So now when you're talking with other people, you can say, yeah, I know this about camels because somebody went the extra mile so we could learn about camels this morning, right? Just thought I'd make that statement. So let's put some together some applications this morning. So some of the applications that I think through when we put all this together is, you know, we go the extra mile now so it can help benefit our future. You know, we're doing this extra work now. It may seem hard. You know, we may be really helping some people through some tough time. You know, we may be doing all these things, but really it helps us out. You know, in the long run, it helps us out. So one of the things that I wanted to mention, it was about David. So as I had mentioned before, David had a lot of friends of things that he did during his time frame. And when Solomon finally went to build the temple, this king from Tyre said, "Oh, your father told me that you were going to be building this temple. Let me send a whole bunch of stuff to help you because we were good friends." Right? So things that we do now help benefit our future. Right? So the hard work that we're putting in, all of the hard work that David put in benefited his children, right? Because basically they were able to, not only did it say that they had so much cedar it was uncounted, you know, but basically they went and even got more cedar from that land, right? Because they were friends. So Abe had also mentioned some of the things that can help us now, of course, is benefiting us in the future is studying the Bible. So we mentioned studying, and studying the Bible is our benefit. Things that help benefit us, of course, is studying. And I have here from 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Right? So studying the Bible can help us with all of this. It can help us with inspiration. It helps us that if we are doing something wrong, we can correct ourselves. It helps us in righteousness. It helps us be complete. So studying the Bible can help us be a complete man of God. Also, some of the things that I think about, of course, especially working in education, is sometimes going the extra mile can help us be educated. Right? So, and I'm not just talking about degrees and certifications or anything like that. I'm just mentioning just educating ourselves on certain topics. So we can educate ourselves on a lot of things. And some of the wisdom from the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7 and 12, "For wisdom is a defense as money is a defense, but the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it." And also in Proverbs 16:16, "How much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get an understanding is to be the chosen rather than silver." Right? So how important is that to us? You know, how important is wisdom to us? This is saying that wisdom and knowledge and education is worth more than money. You know, I had watched a clip the other day of a guy that was, he was sitting in his garage, and there was a Ferrari behind him. And he was like, "You know what the most impressive thing is in this garage?" And it wasn't his Ferrari. He built bookshelves in his garage because he didn't have enough room in his house to hold all of the books that he was studying. And he said, you know, that basically what led him into having the things that he had was gaining knowledge. And I thought that that was such an interesting statement to make. Of course, you know, he's catching you off guard with the car in his garage. But what he was trying to say was, you know, that's not really important. You know, really, wisdom and knowledge is important. You know, not necessarily, you know, the things that we may have. Also, going the extra mile can help benefit our future by doing projects completely and not cutting corners, right? Like I said, we're getting ready to build a new building, and this is something to think about. You know, I think about doing repairs on my house, and there are so many things that I have pulled off and been like, "Oh man, they just like duct tape this together." Right now I'm going to have to go back and do everything that the way it needs to be. If anybody has seen my basement, I have like a moat or a trench in my basement because of the water runoff. Right? Because it wasn't correctly fixed the first time, right? So I had to go through and do that so it was complete. So I do have a verse to go along with this. So we have Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established." So I think of committing our work to God. So if we are committed in our work, we're doing everything fully, everything will be fully established by God. So that's just kind of things that we can do to help benefit our future, is doing this extra work. There are so many things that I think about when I go to work, of these extra things that I can do to help students, to help other faculty members. And by doing that extra step, you know, by going that extra mile helps establish so many things. Also, we can help out other family members by doing that extra step. And not only that, I want to refer back to the things that I've already mentioned this morning. So we have Ruth and Naomi. Basically, this is a mother and father-in-law, or mother and father-in-law. This is a mother and daughter-in-law at this point, that were helping each other. She went and helped Naomi. Also, David helping Solomon, his son, with supplies, right? So this is family members. And also, another family member is Boaz. Boaz was family. So it says, here in Ruth 2, now Naomi had a rich relative named Boaz from Elimelech's family. Right? So this is helping our family, going that extra step. Each of these things that we looked at here in the extra step did involve family. But I also think, too, that we are a church family and that we are to help each other out here as well. However, it just happened to be that these stories involved family members, right? So that's something we can think about, going that extra mile. So how far is that extra mile? So we've already mentioned that you've already come 1 mile. It's like we've come 1 mile to test, you know, how much we can do, right? And we're ready to go that extra one. So how far is a mile? So we know a mile is 5,280 feet. So about how far is that? So if you look from where we are about to our new building, that's 1.3 miles. But just basically as a crow flies, it's almost exactly a mile from here to there. But if we follow the road, it would be 1.3 miles, which is 6,864 feet. So we're going that extra mile. You know, taking that distance a little farther. So I started off this morning with this picture. This picture of this straight road going the extra mile. It seems so simple, right? When you look at this picture about going this extra mile. It's just a flat road. There's no bumps. There's no cracks. It's just straight. It doesn't even look like it's going uphill at that point. It just looks like a straight, flat road. But everything that we've looked at so far, it necessarily wasn't just an easy thing to do, right? It was a lot of work for David to set up everything. Not only did he set up everything, but he had plans. And like he even showed Solomon all of the stuff that he wanted to do with the temple, and basically drawings and ideas for storage areas and all that kind of stuff was all thought and mapped out. So not only did Ruth help Naomi, but she helped her get back to her homeland and then helped her out in her house and helped her with everything there. You know, so we see that all of this takes extra work. So really, going the extra mile looks like this to me sometimes, right? So this extra mile isn't necessarily just a flat, easygoing stretch. I believe this is a famous coach. He said, there are no traffic jams along that extra mile, right? And I started thinking about that. There is no traffic jams along that extra mile because it's hard sometimes. It's hard to go that extra mile, right? We don't have this nice, flat, easygoing road sometimes, especially as Christians standing up when we need to. Sometimes, like I said, we're the only ones standing sometimes. So then it's not an easy road. It is hard. So with that, I have two final thoughts, two last passages here. With that, we have Matthew 5 and 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Right? Sometimes isn't it easy just to go along with what everybody else is doing? Right? To just go along and, you know, just kind of stay under the radar. You know, when I first started teaching, I had somebody approach me and said, you know, you'll have two types of students. One that will let you know who they are. They'll talk every day in class. And some don't even want you to know that they're there. They won't look at you. They won't ask questions. You know, they just want to sit in the back and get out as soon as class is over. And I do see that. I see that. I mean, when they made that statement, that was perfect. You know, so I've thought of that. Are we somebody that lets our light shine, or are we the person that sits in the back and we're just waiting for the time to run out so we can run out, right? Are we that person that wants to go that extra mile to have our light shine so that our good works will be shown, not only to others, but definitely to God? And also, 2 Timothy 2 and 24 says, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, and patient." Right? Sometimes these things are not easy. Right? Sometimes it's not easy to be patient. Sometimes it's not easy to not quarrel. Sometimes it's not easy to be gentle. But when we are, like Abe was saying, turning the other cheek, you know, that's basically what we're told to do. We're told to not quarrel, to be gentle, to go that extra mile. You know, I think of all of the years when people have gotten mad at me about maybe standing up. I had a boss once that actually wanted to promote cursing in the workplace. Now, this was at a professional place, but he thought that people could let off steam easier by cursing in the workplace. Well, me and it, I definitely had to stand up and say a few things, right? That had me pretty much standing by myself at that point. I can't believe somebody would say that, especially working for the larger company that I work with, that would have even been a thought mentioned. But everybody got mad. Everybody was really mad because it was one of those rulings that if somebody had a problem with it, they weren't going to do it, right? So then I was the only person that stood up and had a problem with it, so therefore that they didn't do it, right? So it made some people aggravated and mad. But the whole idea with that was, I said what I needed to say, you know, and everybody got aggravated, but it wasn't for me to argue with them or anything. It was just like, this isn't right. This isn't how a workplace should be. You know, we have several verses in the Bible that tell us, you know, about cursing and things like that. But that's kind of what I've been thinking about. Sometimes we have to go that extra mile to stand up for God. You know, we do sing that song, you know, God has no ears but our ears. You know, He has no lips but our lips. You know, we are the ones doing the extra mile to stand up for God. And that's just kind of the thoughts that I have here in closing, that it's up to us to do that extra standing up for God. As Christians, you know, turning that cheek, so to say, that extra step. So with that said, if you would like to become a member of God's family, please come forward and be baptized as we stand and sing number 669.